This is the CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast.
Here with us today is Josette Sheeran, Director of the World Food Program, to discuss the implications of the current financial crisis on global food security.
What is the status of the global food crisis?
Well, many people think because they've seen the price of commodities come down that we're out of the woods, but in fact we're not. And for the world's most vulnerable people, in particular those living on less than a dollar a day, this is a silent tsunami that's basically eroding all of the nutrition out of their life. Let me explain. If about 70% of your income is spent on food, which if you're living on a dollar it is, and then the cost of food doubles, what goes out of your diet is any protein, any vegetables, and you're basically down to a bowl of rice or a bowl of mush. And you're basically down to maybe two a day or one a day. Now, if you're the ultra poor and you're living on 50 cents a day, as 160 million people are in the world, you're losing whole meals for whole days. The tragedy here is if you're under 2 years old and you're eating mud cakes, as children are in Haiti, this can never be recovered. Because we now know irrefutably that if children are denied adequate nutrition, their brains and their bodies will never recover.
How is the face of the crisis changing? What will 2009 look like?
Well, the face of the food crisis is changing because it's being compounded by two other crises, what I call the three Fs, the food crisis, the fuel crisis, and now the financial crisis. And remember, we're talking about the most vulnerable people in the world. They have no savings account. There isn't any family to lean on. There isn't a church to go to help them. These are people who have no backup plan. And so the food crisis already has cut their income in half and basically eroded their diets of anything of nutritional value. The fuel crisis, with the doubling of fuel costs, last year prohibited them from planting because the cost of fertilizer and diesel went up so high. So they've had bad harvests in some of the poorest areas of the world. And then the financial crisis is now hitting in a new way. Many of these people are dependent upon remittances. Those are funds that are sent back from family members who go to the United States or go to Dubai or go to Europe and work and send home extra money. So gardeners and housekeepers and others. Many families in the poorest areas of the world live on those remittances. Some economies, 40% of the economy are remittances. In Central America, about 20% of the economies are remittances. So in this financial crisis, many of those jobs are being hurt and the remittances have dried up. We are already of one country where we have to feed an additional 600,000 people who have no food because the remittances have dried up. In addition, many of these poor countries make products for export to the United States and Europe. And when U.S. and Europe and others are in recession and buying less, those products from underwear to, you know, small items are not being bought at the same rates. And so the jobs are shutting down in some of these poor countries. The bottom line is hunger is on the march. 75 million people were added to the ranks of the hungry in just the last 12 months.
What should be the role of U.S. leadership under President-elect Obama?
Well, President-elect Obama has a huge opportunity to go from hunger to hope for the world. Hunger is actually not that complicated to solve. We know what solves it: food and access to food. We don't need complex new science and technology. And in fact, the United States has been a leader for many decades in the fight against hunger. Ever since post-World War II, America sent cups of food throughout Europe and Japan, and even to former enemies, and said, you know what, we're not going to allow people to die from hunger. That built goodwill for America all over the world. And today, in Darfur, a place in Sudan where there are many people trapped due to discrimination against their tribes. The U.S. helps us feed 3 million people every day who have no food there. So Obama can help capture the world's imagination by offering a human rescue plan in addition to the financial rescue plan. He can talk not only about Wall Street and Main Street, but also about the places that have no streets. And by the way, the price tag isn't that large. For about $6 billion a year, we can avoid the worst forms of human suffering due to the lack of food and food access. The World Food Program knows how to reach people and to do it effectively and efficiently. And there are many institutions and organizations, faith-based groups, other NGOs that people are familiar with, food banks that are doing fantastic work. So I think Barack Obama could pull the world together and say, you know what, in these hard times, we're going to stand with the most vulnerable. One of the challenges with the three crises that are hitting the most vulnerable countries on Earth is this creates global instability. This is not just about doing good or feeling good or helping people. This is about creating a secure world. As Martin Luther King said, social unrest is the language of the unheard. And just during the past year, we've seen food riots in over 40 countries. If governments can't feed their people, even good governments like Liberia, that's a fragile new democracy, people will march against that, and often you'll see governments fall, as the government of Haiti did. So we need to hear those voices, and again, the cost is really quite small for the world to stand in solidarity with those good governments and help them get through these hard times.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, please visit www.csis.org/globalhealth.